Here are just a few of the rumors snowballing through the press recently.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is in the hospital because he's so heavy, his ankles have fractured under his own weight.
It turns out the man who jumped the White House fence and made it inside the executive mansion got much further than originally thought.
A massage therapist had surgery to add an additional third breast in the hopes of becoming a reality TV star.
We all know that rumors flare in unpredictable directions and are notoriously hard to corral, but the claims you just heard, and many others, are being monitored on a new site called Emergent.info. Emergent has three rankings for rumors: unverified, which applies to Kim Jong-un's ankles; confirmed true, which applies to the White House intruder; and confirmed false, that would be the woman with the third breast. Craig Silverman created Emergent, inspired by his years chronicling media misinformation on his blog, Regret the Error.
I see a lot of stuff that gets reported that you might argue never should have made it into the press. What I realized is that there's so much information that gets out there and that you can't pretend to put a lid on.
You can't ignore the fact that it's out there. You have to deal with it one way or another.
That's it. And I think obviously one of the reasons why news organizations are picking these things up is that they see a spike with traffic. So that motivation is a part of it. And then I think there's also a conundrum for journalists. Today, a lot of this stuff starts on social networks that maybe in the past they would have had a crack at trying to verify before it actually got out in wide distribution. So that's a new challenge. If we're going to deal with it at this early stage, how do we do that in a way that creates understanding rather than creates confusion?
Okay, so if the cart of bad information is put before the horse of the media, why? Let's talk about why people start rumors.
There's about a century or so of research into rumors. And at the core of it is that when we have situations where there's a level of uncertainty, and particularly where there's a level of anxiety, in the absence of real information, we sort of tend to process and invent new information. It's been shown that we're more likely to share information if we feel it has kind of an urgent nature to it. So in situations of natural disasters or crisis, I mean, we're seeing lots of rumors around ISIS, people are more inclined to pass on information because they think it's really important for people to know it.
But you also note that often the most shared rumors are pretty absurd. I mean, the claim of the Florida woman with her third breast was shared over 400,000 times. Compare that with the claim that ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was killed by a U.S. airstrike, also untrue. It was only shared about 29,000 times. It suggests that we really mine these rumors for their entertainment value.
There's absolutely an emotional connection.
A third breast?
People might share it and say, you know, can you believe this? Or look at what's happening to the youth today. You could imagine different viewpoints being grafted onto this fake story. There are dynamics of just sharing in general. You mix them with things that have been designed to attract attention, and they tend to be rewarded with social shares. And there's even been research that suggests, in a lot of cases, people don't even read what they share. They see the headline or the tweet, and on it goes.
Do we think that we're actually better at sussing out rumors than we really are?
The short answer is yes. I think the average person thinks that they evaluate in a very reasoned way. And again, research tells us that that's usually not the case. If it's something that conforms with our pre-existing beliefs or something that we want to be a certain way, then we're more inclined to go along with it. Things that challenge what we think, we actually tend to double down on our pre-existing beliefs.
In addition to tracking the rumors, you also track the changes to the story. What have you noticed about how news organizations deal with making corrections?
You know, the best data we have about corrections from a newspaper study is that only about 2% of articles that had an error were ever corrected. We overall don't see a huge amount of updates being made.
But there are news organizations that are more willing to concede they've made a mistake than others.
Absolutely. Certainly there are some places that have a culture of correction to them. One that does come to mind would be the New York Times. They've committed a resource that I can't think of anyone else who has, which is that they have a senior editor whose almost his sole responsibility is dealing with requests for correction. But what we see with a lot of these stories, which are, you know, stories that are spreading online, is that rather than calling it a correction or admitting they got something wrong, they're usually just sort of updating and say, oh, hey, it turned out to be a hoax. And I don't see a lot of evidence that once this new information comes out, they actually make an effort to get it reshared and to recirculate it.
Is that because the news outlets don't try, or is it because people just don't have the same interest in sharing a correction to a story?
There's certainly an element where the lie is much more attractive and much more shareable than the debunking of it.
How do news organizations make the truth more shareable?
I don't know yet. Hopefully, towards the end of the year, we're going to be able to analyze the debunkings that generated some engagement and some interest and see if there's anything that connects them. And it's kind of shameful to think that, you know, we don't have a body of evidence or a body of research to draw on already. What we do have is some research that talks about ways to get past some of the bias that people have. And advice for that are things like trying to find neutral sources who appeal to people from, you know, both sides of an issue or a particular side of an issue who can express the debunking rather than just putting it in the voice of the news organization.
Can you give me an example of that?
A really good example of that would be what happened when Barack Obama and John McCain were both running for president. There were, of course, you know, a persistent rumor, a persistent lie that Barack Obama was a Muslim. And at one of the events where John McCain was doing a town hall, a woman stood up and she described Barack Obama as a Muslim. And John McCain actually said to her very clearly that, no, he's not. He's a Christian. And so out of all of the attempts by the Obama campaign and by everyone else to convince people that Barack Obama is a Christian, I would argue that that was probably the most effective.
Wow. I don't see that happening a lot.
No, you don't.
Craig, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Craig Silverman is a fellow at the Tau Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia and founder of Emergent.info, a real-time rumor tracking tool.